Maybe you've seen this on the internet. This happened since I saw you last. I want to show how fragile the earth is. This is the earthquake in Mexico. People on vacation. Look at that. Not only the river being quaked, the banks of the river, the trees from the trunk, swaying. In the days of Noah, they were laughing right up until their destruction, you know? And so, but I just thought that was awesome. I'm showing it to you so that we can realize, well, listen, folks, right now, we are in the days of awe and repentance. And so I share the video. I say, look how fragile the earth is. If you can watch that and not be in awe, understanding that the entire earth is being held together by the mercies of God. He showed me one time that the whole planet was being washed with His mercy continually. And without that, it would come to pieces. And so I showed you the video again because we're in days of awe and repentance. I want everybody to, you know, understand the gravity. The earth is fragile. I'm not trying to scare people, but it's good and right to understand we're living by the mercies of God. God's will, His desire for us, is not chaos, but mercy and order and glory. In that order, mercy, order, and glory. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24. To me, that, and then, you know, also since we saw you last, Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, and my heart goes out to Puerto Rico. You all know we lived there for 6 years, and I was up in the middle of the night this week praying for the people. Look, guys, when we were there, it was like the wild, wild west already. And then to have this storm come through and take out electricity for it was already a pretty much lawless. I mean, the cops would direct traffic while holding a beer. So driving, I would just go salute with my beer, you know. And you could drive on sidewalks. There was no such thing as one-way street. It was already lawless. Take away, then the military pulled out of Puerto Rico, and now you take away their electricity. And I assure you, you ain't hearing anything about reality that's going on in Puerto Rico. I've been praying, God, protect the innocent. Lord, thwart the wicked. And again, you saw there in Mexico, quaking going on. And one more time, God's desire for us is, in this order, mercy, order, and glory. Not chaos and every evil practice. Not raping and pillaging and stealing going on everywhere. Look, that happened in New Orleans after Katrina. Man, I heard machine gun fire going on in the night. Turned out some of that was the police. And they weren't shooting at bad guys. They were getting what they wanted. You hear what I'm saying? Who's to say, before I see you next time, this ain't going to be going on in America? Chaos and robbery, raping and pillaging. We need us some Savior, some Messiah in this place. Okay, I opened us to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read a short passage to you, starting at verse 36. And in my Bible, this passage is titled, "The Day and Hour Unknown." No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only my Father. And this is Jesus speaking, talking about His second coming, when Jesus comes to put an end to everything, right? And start a whole new season, if you will, that will be so radically different than what you see now that we really can't even put words on it. And so Jesus says, no one knows when that's going to be, but only the Father. In verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Wow. And last week I asserted, we are living in the days of Noah. And I shared with you, in the days of Noah, the land was filled with violence and injustice. In the days of Noah, the people were busy with their routine. We just saw a video. They were busy with vacation. And they wouldn't even let their own destruction interrupt them in vacationing. That's whack, man. People going to church, they're busy with routine. People have this agenda and that agenda, not recognizing the time. In the days of Noah, the deluge came to destroy all flesh. In the days of Noah, the waters lifted up the ark. And in the days of Noah, Noah walked faithfully with God. And I've been sharing with you, I said last week, God is now, He's already been saying, set your heart on Me, desire Me. And the proof of your desire will be seen in your pursuit. If you don't have any pursuit, don't give God lip service saying you desire Him. Look, this is an earnest thing that we work out. It's between us and God, personally and privately. Do you really want the Lord? Well, let's look and see where you've been seeking Him, how you've been seeking Him. Or are you just caught up in routine and caught up with distractions and caught up with your own agenda? Because God is pouring out His Spirit now, and I'm not one to preach, the end of everything has come. In fact, I hope that today's message will bring some balance. I'm saying we are in the days of Noah. These things are true. The land is filled with violence and all these other things I've shared. And I see God saying, I want to flood the earth with My Spirit. Jesus said, if you believe in Him, the living waters will flow through you. God wants to flood the earth with His Spirit through you. Well, how do I do that? How can I be a part of that? Desire Him. Embrace, ask God for the fire. I want the fire of Your Spirit upon me, Lord. Your fire rested on the heads of the people in the book of Acts. And we're witnesses, Susan and I. That's the case today. For everyone who's born of God, for everyone who's born of the Holy Spirit, you have a flame resting upon your head. Might sound bizarre, but I don't care how it sounds to you. It's the truth. I want you to embrace the fire of God. It burns away the chaff, the agendas, the misunderstandings, the unholy desires, and you become a vessel through which the living waters flow. The flood of God's good Spirit flows through you, believers. And it says, in the days of Noah, the flood destroyed all flesh. And we're not looking for people to be terminated, but we're looking for unholy things to be destroyed. That would say, you might say, the fleshly nature, that old nature that's that wants to live independent of God, that old nature that wants to be a rebel and not be submitted to God. God wants to pour out, He is pouring out His Holy Spirit upon all mankind. And those who embrace His fire and let His Spirit flow through them, He will be flooding the earth. We have opportunity, each one of us, to be that person through which the earth is filled with the flood of God's Spirit. Hallelujah! This comes at cost. Embracing the fire of God. Saying, okay, God, I want to want You more than anything else, but maybe I'm not feeling that. Please help me with that. And then be earnest about it. Maybe that's the voice of some of you here today. Maybe others here today are like, you know, it's true. I really don't care about anything else. All I want is You, God. I'm hungering for You. I need You. I can't stand or take life without You, Lord. I don't care about anything else but You. Hallelujah. Good. In any case, we can all be seeking Him. And He will fill us. He said, ask the Father for My good Spirit and I will give you My good Spirit. I'm not going to give you a stone or a serpent. I'll give you My Spirit. Hallelujah. So a lot of people, you know, you look at what's been happening in world events recently and they'd say, we're in the days of Noah. It's the end. It's the end. And you know what? Maybe it is the end. On the other hand, God has shown me some things about My children and their children in the earth. And I can't reconcile that everything is over this week. Some people said yesterday was the end of the world and here we are today. The vision God has given me, I've shared it many times before. I'm not going to get too much into it today. I would just tell you, I would like for you to look at this, the days of Noah, a little bit differently than your bus ticket has arrived and it's time for you to leave all the suffering in the earth. Because here we are today. Things are shaking, things are quaking, things are going on. People are all occupied by their own routines and agendas. Even in the church, God has had me been preaching all this year, come off of your personal preferences. Come off of your personal preferences. Come off of your prejudices, your prejudgments. Seek Me, says the Lord. Want Me, says the Lord. It comes at cost. And there is a balance to it, folks. We want to walk it out. As you saw that earthquake, that in these days of awe and days of repentance, you saw that earthquake. I just shared the video in Mexico. It should put you in awe of how fragile the earth is. Do you know it says in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says the entire earth is under a bondage to decay. And it's groaning and quaking. And the earth eagerly desires for the sons of God to be revealed, to liberate it from its decay. You see the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the natural disasters and all the things going on. And a lot of Christians want to say, it's the days of Noah. We're zapped out of here. But I want you to look at things differently. What if I were to tell you, you're accountable? What if I were to tell you that earthquake happened because the children of God have been slack? What if I were to tell you the hurricanes are happening because the children of God have got their eyes off of Christ? What if I were to tell you it's your fault? It's my fault. Some people say, dude, you are crazy. I didn't cause that. I'm talking about the Word of God says. The whole earth is under the bondage of decay and it's quaking and eagerly desiring those that are led by God's Spirit, not God's babies, the sons and daughters of God, those that are controlled by God's Spirit to liberate the earth from its bondage to decay. The Bible says that when Abel's blood was shed, his blood soaked into the earth and it hurt the earth. The earth was began crying out, this is injustice, this isn't right. And God's wrath had to come. And God's wrath did come to satisfy the earth's cry. And Cain was cursed because of that innocent blood. How much more 3,000 to 4,000 babies a day in America, their blood being shed through abortion, it's crying out for justice. The earth is groaning. Make it stop. Liberate me from this decay. It's for real, folks. And when we're controlled by God's Spirit, we become part of the solution. We become vessels of peace every step you take, providing redemption, liberation from sin. I've seen before. During major earthquakes, I'm asleep at night not knowing something's going on the other side of the world. And through my, quote, sleep, I see destruction because of idolatry. I shared with you before the whole Fukushima thing and the earthquake when it struck Japan. There's been other instances too. The idolatry of man does not serve or help the earth being set free from its decay. But the liberty of man, God, it's so powerful, you guys. Jesus said, it's like you're all gods. Jesus said that. And I'm not putting ourselves on par with God. I'm talking about the glory of the redemption that's been given us in Christ Jesus. When humans are in bondage and sinning and shedding innocent blood and robbing and pillaging, the earth is not being set free from its bondage to decay. But when humans are focusing on the Lord and worshiping God and being liberated by the good Spirit of God, the earth is being liberated from its bondage to decay. It's powerful, man. So I'm saying the Bible is true. The Bible is true. Wouldn't be having all this mess. People get right before the Lord. Seek after God. Come off your own preferences. And God has shown me a thing or two. And I'm testifying to those things. I'm witnessing to those things. He showed me something 7 years ago. I'm going to share it. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 6 right now. I've tried to share what the Lord revealed to me in October of 2010, just 6 weeks before He dispatched us to Michigan City, North Dakota, to preach. I've tried to share it before, and it's like nearly unspeakable. The best I could do is say, it was an Isaiah 6 encounter. So I'm going to go through this very short chapter with you and share a little bit of what He opened my eyes to see. And I want you to hear how it's all related, folks. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and a train of His robe filled the temple. Listen, folks, the Lord brought me up to His, I don't know where He brought me. He brought me into His presence. I was in the throne room. This passage says, I saw the Lord on His throne in October 2010. I've been preaching here coming up on 7 years. I was taken to that place and Jesus was not on His throne. And the sins of America were mocking God. And I was like, why isn't He on? I'm telling you that Jesus is a gentleman. If you enthrone Him in your heart and you choose to make Him your Lord, that's a good, wise choice. God's Spirit is working in you and then you want to abide. Maybe the listeners to this message, maybe most of them or some of them have made Jesus the Lord of their life. He's on His throne in my heart. God the Father has already done. God the Father has already made you Lord of all creation and I choose to be in harmony with Him. Don't tell me He's not. I'm telling you, as a nation, Christ has been dethroned. I'm trying to say God and God alone is good, and God's will alone is good. I shared with you a little bit last week about how the will of man is a vice, where the will of man is a vice that holds them unto a work of destruction, as to where God's will is a holy vice to bring about a divine masterpiece. And it's up to you and me to put ourselves in our own will or God's will. And that's what either enthrones Christ or dethrones Christ in your life. America has dethroned God. This is what the Lord showed me years ago. And I was terrified, you know. And the sins were mocking God. And then the King of Glory stepped into the room. And as soon as He set foot in the room, I hit the deck because of all these sins. It was maddening. Maddening injustice. A sound that would drive you insane. The sound of mocking His goodness. There's no words to describe. And I hit the deck. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. You see, it was my fault. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Why am I responsible for the sins of America? Because I'm the church. I'm His representative. I'm His ambassador. Are you? Then what's going on in America? Allowing America to dethrone Christ. That ain't right. That's injustice. And it won't go well. And this vision, I was a wreck. After the vision, I was a wreck for days. And I just pled with God, oh, the blood. Let me tell them about the blood that You've paid the price. They'll stop, Lord. And I've been ministering here 7 years now. And I can tell you many people have come and gone claiming to be Christians. And Jesus is not their Lord. Yeah. Even some people you would love and respect, you would think they're in the Lord a long time. They're mature saints of God. And maybe they're saved and going to go to heaven. But there's still room for Christ to be enthroned in areas of their life where they have not enthroned Christ. Hear me. Let's go back to the passage. And it has to do with personal preferences. It has to do with people thinking the kingdom should look a certain way. Church should go a certain way. If it's not going according to my liking, I know Jesus doesn't like it. Are you kidding me? He called me to North Dakota. I said, I don't want to go there. I hate cold weather. And here I am to His glory. Jesus said, if you don't give up your life, if you don't give up everything, if you don't take up your cross, we shall not pal around together. I can paraphrase our Lord. The passage goes on. Above Him were seraphs or angels, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. Why would the angels cover their faces? Why? Why? I'm telling you why. Because God is holy. He is so pure. In this, quote, revelation that I had. Listen. In this revelation that I had been summoned. I had been accosted. And there were beings, one on each side of me, that brought me there. And I couldn't even see them. I guess my heart wasn't pure enough. I don't know. But I knew they were there. Same with the King of Glory when He came in. Scripture says, you know, if we were to see Him in His fullness and that, it would destroy our flesh. It would kill us. because He's so holy. He's so holy that even these angels were covering their eyes. Oh, King of Glory! Oh, King of Glory! That's powerful, man. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Verse 5, Woe to me! I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Now, Jesus taught that the lips are a reflection of the heart, that what is on your lips is overflowing out of your heart. And my eyes have seen the King. Now, I can't claim that. Again, I share with you, I was more like those angels, man. Couldn't see. I mean, I saw and witnessed some stuff, but some stuff was also hidden from me. And so Isaiah cries out, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And I'm trying to share, folks, imagine that the hurricanes and the earthquakes are the fault of those who say they're Christians but are not hard after Jesus. Is the Spirit of God flooding the earth to destroy all flesh through you now? Then the hurricane was your fault. Then the earthquake was your fault. On the other hand, if the Spirit of God is flowing through your life now and flooding the earth now, destroying the fleshly nature everywhere God's Spirit goes through you, well, hallelujah, you're part of the solution. And somebody would say, we're a Christian nation. We're this and that. And I would say, you know what? There might be some sold-out, Jesus-loving Christians in America, but there's not enough. Not enough. Because according to what the Lord has revealed to me, and He's a gentleman. Give Him the throne, He'll take it. Now abide. Seek hard after Him. Want Him and Him alone, He said this summer. The earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord. You are everything. And I tell you, that's a reflection of the first commandment. Put no other God before Me. You're making your own will, what you want. A God before Me. You're making your preference, your idea, your notion of what you think church should be like before Me. I've seen that since I had this vision. And then God gave me the grace. He came and gave us this building. He's been carrying me along so I could declare His message these 7 years. So many people coming and going. Putting other things ahead of God while saying the Lord is their God. They will be held accountable. We will be held accountable. We were sent to loose the earth from its bondage to decay. Well, Pastor, how in the world are we going to do that? The earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord. The earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord. I'm trying to tell you, folks, if you get in harmony with that Psalm 73:25b, the earth has nothing I desire besides You, Lord. This is a stewardship verse. It's about stewardship. That's it. It's that simple. If it's true that all you care about and all you want is Me, you're going to make a fine manager of great wealth. Otherwise, the Bible clearly reveals that what God gives you, you will fix your heart on that blessing. And it will mean more to you than God. So He wants to make people successful. He wants to give you this. He wants to give you that. But not if it's your destruction. No, He's redeeming the planet and its inhabitants from the bondage to decay. And I'm telling you, man's sin is related to the earth's destruction. And as man is liberated from sin by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, the earth is liberated from its bondage to decay. And right now the earth is crying out for justice, the blood of the innocent, the raping, the pillaging, the thieving, the corruption in the highest places of government all cry out. Come and fix this. And if there be no repentance, harvesting is a violent process. Swing the sickle. Something's getting destroyed. This is how I came out of the earth and was delivered into Mount Zion. The violent sickle of 9/11 rescued me. Hallelujah. So if you don't feel, if you don't understand that the things that are, because again, the Christian culture, the Western Christian culture in America wants to believe Jesus is coming right now, and that just fixes everything. That way, I'm not accountable. I get to go eat cotton candy and grapes in heaven with Jesus. I get to rub elbows with Peter and Paul. That's what Christians want to believe. Instead of being accountable and walking out their salvation, working it out with fear and trembling and being the solution. Glory to God, I'm going to share this. I'll probably cut out of the tape. We just sang, He puts the stars in the night sky. He knows each one by name. I remember the first time God called me to minister healing to a woman that was in a wheelchair. It was in front of a big crowd and I was too scared. And after the meeting, I went home and I was freaking out. I can't believe I didn't do that. Because He showed me the day before while I was praying. He showed me the woman and me going up to her and she being healed and getting up and dancing. And then I go into a church, about 500 people, there's one woman in a wheelchair right there while I'm preaching. And I didn't, I was too scared. And I was repenting before God, I'm so sorry. And that night He gave me a vision, it was an amazing vision about, I love your repentance. I love that you're being accountable. I love that you take responsibility for your shortcomings.
Yeah.
I will never forsake that. And in this vision, He rushed to me. The angel of the Lord rushed to me. And we loved each other. And it was wonderful. And then we sat down. We were sitting there. And the Lord just went like this, folks. This was me. Just me and Him. We're sitting there looking at the night sky with stars. And He goes, and me and my generations, me and my kids and their kids were like the bright stars in the night sky. Let that give you hope. It wasn't even hard for Him. This is for you. My descendants, spiritual and natural. It's me. I'm Abraham's descendant through Christ. You are Abraham. God promised Abraham, I'll make your descendants like the stars in the night sky. And I'm testifying and witnessing. It's so amazing. You know, sinner I may be, scared to minister healing and this and that. It was not hard for Him. He just went, whoop, and boom. It was really cool. You can put your confidence in the Lord. You ought not cling to your own will, your own agenda. You ought to want the one who can do that for you. Amen?
Amen.
But if you don't understand the gravity, if you don't understand you need a Savior, if you don't understand it's your sin and my sin. Okay, so maybe you and me, maybe every single person here has Christ on the throne of their heart. God still says, but you're accountable for the sins in America, church. I sent you to clean things up. I sent you to be my representative, to be my ambassadors. And if you were functioning properly, there wouldn't be all this mocking going on towards me. America, you understand that? We're vessels of redemption, vessels of really repentance. And people in America really don't want to hear that. They literally find that word offensive. I've used it a couple of times in the last year with the world. And they find it offensive. They don't want to hear repent. Jesus' first words in the book of Mark. Repent! The kingdom has come! You can have it! And I'm trying to get everybody here as I'm sharing this message to understand we're vessels, we're ambassadors. Jesus even referred to His children as gods in the earth that would be under Him. We have power and authority. And as we're living liberated lives, not in idolatry, not in... And again, you ask most Christians, they would tell you, I'm not in idolatry, yet I've been ministering here 7 years. I've seen lots of idolatry in the church. I'm not mad. I am sent in the name of the Lord, though, with His message here today. And we want to take accountability and take responsibility here. Isaiah was like, woe to me. I am ruined. And I'm from a bunch of ruined people. We're ruined! There's no hope! That's what I felt when I was there. That's what I experienced. All I could do is I'm saying, I'm so sorry, Lord. Well, I heard this maddening sound of mocking God. You're not God. If you're a God, you do something. God is long-suffering. And what He's suffering was more than my humanity could bear. So intense. The passage goes on. Here's the solution, folks. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, that's a reflection of the heart, and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for, or the price has been paid for your guilt to be removed." And we all, you know, we come to church because we believe that. And I'm saying that hot coal is a typology of Christ. Jesus said here in recent weeks, everyone will be salted with fire. Hallelujah. And you know what? Woe to them that resist the fire. Woe to them that refuse to say, "Okay, salt me with fire. If you're not going to set them on fire, set me on fire, Lord." And I tell you, woe to them that refuse to go there with the Lord. Because we have a salt covenant, salted with fire. It has to do with your preservation, my preservation, the preservation of the earth. It should be deep. This is powerful stuff, man. You being purified, you being refined in the fire of God's love liberates the earth. And so we know it's done once and for all by Jesus' one sacrifice, Hebrews 10:14, while you're being made holy. That's what I'm talking about. We choose to put Christ, to take crowns away from our selfish desires. Take the crown away from what I think church should look like. Take the crown away from everything else and crown Christ King. Say, "You take the throne. I choose to enthrone you as Lord, as God the Father has already done." Do you understand? And don't stop. Let's get hard after Jesus, folks. Every single one of us. The proof of desire can be seen in pursuit. And the Lord said weeks ago, "The earth has nothing I desire besides you." Are we seeking God? Has there been evidence of your pursuit of God? If so, good. Keep going, because He wants to flood the earth with His Spirit through you. Destroying all that old nature stuff, all that idolatry that makes mankind responsible for the earth's decay and all the stuff going on. Are you getting the paradigm shift, folks? Instead of believing Jesus is zapping us out tonight before we go to bed, can you believe you're accountable for what's going on and God has sent you to save the day? You're a Savior with a little S. Amen. Glory to God. And if I'm wrong and He comes tonight, we will celebrate together. "Oh, Pastor Robert, I'm so glad you were wrong about that." We'll be eating cotton candy tonight with Jesus. But honestly, folks, I don't see it that way. And God has shown me a thing or two that I'm accountable to testify. I testify. Right now, I'm testifying in the courts of heaven as I stand here. I'm testifying before God. And I'm accountable to do that. If I get beheaded or promoted, whatever, I'm accountable to testify. So are you. If you could see that God alone is good, we heard that last week out of Mark chapter 10. God alone is good, Jesus said. And then when Peter came to Christ, when Christ was saying what God's will was, Peter came and said, no. And Jesus said, what? "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of man in mind." Now this was, we would think, a good man, Peter. He was zealous for the Lord. And I'm telling you, I've seen many people come and go from church that are like Peter in that way. And God had a call on Peter. God didn't reject Peter, but Jesus sure did verbally rebuke him. And Peter took the rebuke too. And the Lord has sent me, I don't know how many weeks ago it was, I was saying, we've been too loosey-goosey. Listen, it was before all this destruction. Don't you see? He doesn't want us loosey-goosey, because when we're loosey-goosey in the truth, a sloppy grace, the earth continues to decay and come to pieces. But if we tighten our spiritual belt, you won't be caught with your pants down. That's what's happened here. That's what's happened here in the last couple of months. The church in America has been caught with its pants down because the belt of truth has been too loose. And that's a shame. That's embarrassing. The church praying against Hurricane Harvey so that it would go away, but finding itself impotent. The church praying away Irma. You shall not touch Florida. You shall not come here. You shall turn out into the ocean. And the church in America finding itself powerless. The salt has lost its saltiness. The church in America has dethroned Christ while it says Jesus is Lord. I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm by the grace of God, I'm living a life of repentance. I'm working out the salvation with fear and trembling. I'm testifying. I'm witnessing. I want everybody to understand, I believe you're going to be here in 10 years. I believe you're going to be here in 20 years. I believe you're going to be in the earth in 40 years. And how you respond to this message has an impact on what it's going to look like in the future. And people sitting around waiting on the couch, oh Jesus, rescue me from this misery. Oh Jesus, come and help. Oh, thank God you're coming next week, Jesus. I believe that African prophet. That's not helping anything. We're called to not shrink back from death in order to follow Jesus. And he ain't bad. After I got to North Dakota, I figured, you know what? I like this cool weather. It didn't take long. I thought, wow, I was wrong. Imagine that. And we like North Dakota. We like the isolation God has given us. We're hidden in Him. Let Christ be revealed. I like the cool weather. We love you guys. I wrote one of you yesterday and said, you guys are our heroes. I've said that before and it's true. You're heroes in the Lord. Look at you sitting here after all this time. God bless you. Hallelujah. You're helping to uphold this word that I'm charged to deliver. And Elder Tom has been seeking the Lord, hearing from God, and I'm seeking the Lord. Are we going to put him up, Lord? You know, you be Lord. You be on the throne. I renounce my own judgment. I renounce my own will. I encourage you to do that too. If you want the vice unto destruction to be broken, that is your will, you invite the Lord, come and break an unholy will. Come and break an evil will. He called Peter Satan. So who are you to think you don't have an unholy will? Amen. And I've seen it. It was terrifying, the will of man. A steel vice so that you're held unto a work of destruction. That's horrible. No, I renounce my will. I want what you have, God. I want your will. Come. And this is an earnest labor for all of us, guys. Moving along. We want to tighten up our spiritual belt so we're not caught with our pants down. There is repenting to be done in America today throughout the church. We all want to take accountability. I find that when I'm taking accountability and being responsible for something, eventually the Spirit of the Lord comes and says, shh, it's time for you to let that go now. I'm putting the charge on someone else, or you've done your part. These kinds of things. But you will never know if you don't take account, or if you don't take accountability, if you don't take responsibility before God. You'll never know. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Your will, the control of your life under what you want is not easy. It's a burden that crushes you and destroys others. Because when the church is not doing her part, other people are being robbed. When the church is not doing her part, other people are being beaten. When the church is not doing her part, other people are being murdered and raped. The church is accountable. We are God's bride. Hallelujah. He backs up His bride. He loves His bride. We've got some repenting to do, America. I love you, church in America. What Jesus did paid the price for our sin. Be focused on what Jesus did. It took your guilt away. But it's not real to you if you hear this message today and you deliberately keep on doing what you have been doing. That's what the Scripture says. He didn't pay the price for you if when you hear about the price, you keep acting the same way you have been acting. Your guilt has been taken away. Be excited about that. Thank you, God. How can I thank you? He says, I'll have it all. Every breath, all of your wants, everything about you. And by the way, anything less than that is an unreasonable thank. Don't thank me with less than that. You're everything. It all belongs to you. My life, a living sacrifice. And then if you do that as a deliberate act of your will, God is gracious to you and He will help you work that out with fear and trembling. He loves us, His bride. He says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Let's turn there. Hallelujah. Man, did you guys have compassion for the people in the earthquakes in Mexico? Did you have compassion for the people in Puerto Rico, the people in Florida, the people in Houston? A lot of people suffering, folks. And without the children of God stepping up to do their part, it's going to get worse. And instead of just rolling it all over on Jesus, you are Jesus in the earth with a little J. Jesus Himself said, you are the light of the world. In one place He said, I, Jesus, am the light of the world. In another place He said, you are the light of the world. Here in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, my dove in the clefts of the rock. And that kind of reminds me of Moses saying, show me your glory. And the Lord came and had to hide Moses so he wouldn't be destroyed by the glory of God. He hid him in the cleft of a rock. We are hidden in Christ. Christ is our rock, folks. My dove, representing peace, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face. See, Christ has paid the price. You can come to God the Father through faith in the flesh and the blood of Jesus that was torn for you. Believe that and go directly to God to obtain mercy for every failure and find grace for every need. God says, show me your faith. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Christ paid the price. God wants to see our face. He wants to hear from us. And hear this next part. Now this is Jesus talking to His lovely bride. Catch for us the foxes. The little foxes that ruin the vineyards are vineyards that are in bloom. The little foxes come to steal the fruit of your life. Your affections for Jesus. Your pursuit. Your desire. The little foxes come to steal your desire for what is right. God. And Jesus is saying, in this passage, He's saying, I'm not going to do it for you. He's saying, you catch the foxes for us. That's what He says here. I love you. I want to hear your voice. I love you so much. Don't let the little foxes rob you of your desire for me. Don't let the little crafty things sneak in and steal away your pursuit of me. And the Lord has shown me here recently as this thing is unfolding, you know. I was seeking the Lord yesterday. I wish this on everybody, that you could go to God in prayer and hear from the Lord. And it, for everybody, it's different. How you hear from your great shepherd, Jesus, may be totally different from the way I hear from the great shepherd. I frequently will see pictures or like little video snips, you know. And yesterday I was seeking the Lord, everything shut away, and just speak the truth to me, God, I love you. And I saw a man like this with a whip. And I thought, well, that's not a pleasant sight. What is that? Maybe like you might imagine a guy on a chariot, you know, driving horses with a whip. And I prayed a little bit more. I had no idea what that meant, if it was even really the Lord. And after a few minutes, I got up away from my prayer closet and I went into the house just to kind of, the rest of the house to just kind of take a little break, you know, and just visit with the family for a few minutes. I was probably doing that for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. And I went back to my prayer closet, getting after God. Lord, speak the truth to me. I'm seeking you. I renounce my own will. I renounce my own ideas of what's best, of what's right. I'm seeking you. I renounce and put to silence Satan and all his activity in Jesus' name, right? Seeking God. Next thing I saw was a runner. He was running a marathon. It was obvious. He was not on a sprint. Running a marathon. It was like he went. And while he was running, he turned, his torso turned toward me and waved. But there was a focus on his legs. Look at those unencumbered legs. Did you guys ever see Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
How far did Forrest Gump run when he ran? Did he run 100 yards? Did he run for 10 minutes? He ran for 3 years. And in the vision I had yesterday, it reminded me of that. The runner was running. He was so happy. And his not short steps. He was running, but good. And he just turned his torso. Hey, running, man. You can rejoice running the course God has marked out for you. You are honored to follow God. He is not asking too much.
Amen.
He's running the race marked out for him. We heard in recent weeks, the warning areas are hot. If you're going to let your mind go, your desires go, your pursuits go into areas I've already told you not to go, you could get burned or destroyed in those warning areas. They're hot. Don't touch the stove. You'll get burned. God has said. And as I finish this message, that we don't want our belt of truth to be too loosey-goosey. Don't make up your own Jesus. There's only one God, Jesus. He is the Lord. He is the truth. He said so Himself. He wants you to live in the truth. He says, take every thought captive. Discipline yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Let's go there. Jesus is the answer. He has come. You do not have to wait for Jesus to come. He's here now talking to you through me. And I'll tell Him, I'm nothing but dirt, God. I can't believe You chose me. And He's like, well, that's where I plant my kingdom. In the dirt. And the sweet-smelling aroma of life erupts through that dirt. The flowers do come. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you and I will do this, throw off the entanglements, throw off the personal preferences, throw off what you think is right, throw off the devil's attacks, and run the course marked out for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? And I tell you that when you appear before the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be you before God in the sight of all people of all time. Like in an arena or a stadium. Everybody will be witnessing and cheering Jesus' judgments as your life is reviewed. Every thought, everything you've done will be reviewed in front of everyone as it's you and God. So here it says, run the race. Understanding only one gets the prize. And I'm here to tell you, that's you. You get the prize. In other words, run it like you're the only one. It's between you and God. And if you're not going to set them on fire, Lord, set me on fire. If they're not going to obey You, help me obey You. You get it? The passage goes on. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You heeding this yoke of repentance. You embracing the fire of God. You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're being strict with yourself to take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. It's not for nothing. You're liberating the earth from its decay. God's Spirit is flowing through you, a flood to bless others. And you're storing up for yourself a crown that you can't even imagine. It's so glorious. That when you get there on that day, in front of that entire arena of all people, of all time, you're not put to shame, called a goat, and thrown into hell. But instead, you're separated, a sheep who gets its reward. Isn't that amazing? This is amazing. And it doesn't have to be a mystery how it's going to turn out for you. If you'll be accountable today and accept that the prophet, that Jesus has taken your guilt away and prove it by how you act. The Bible says faith without deeds is no faith at all. It's deadness. It stinks. Look, the flies are coming to it like poop. It's worthless. Ah, but faith with deeds lives. Faith with deeds, God cannot resist. He rushes to meet you in your faith that has actions. We do it for a crown that will last forever. Paul said, therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Here it is. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You don't want to go around saying you're a Christian and telling others about how Jesus loved you and saved you from hell and come to find out when you get to that day, the judgment seat of Christ, you didn't live what you were saying. And you disqualified yourself from the prize. Ain't no pointing your finger at God and saying, you were mean to me. You were harsh to me. No. Everybody in all creation of all time will be cheering His judgments. You are right. You are good. You are holy. Wow. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at that Bema seat, people will receive the reward due them for what they did in the body, what they did in the earth, whether it was good or bad. Lord, help us live lives of repentance. Our guilt taken away. Our sins paid for. Hebrews chapter 12. So, you know, catch the foxes, folks. And the thing with the whip and the beat the body. Be violent with the foxes. Jesus said the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Don't be easy on the sloppy ideas of unbelief, of doubt. You do not have the luxury to doubt. When you're living in doubt, you are being responsible for other people's misery. So be hard on that thing that's hindering you from pursuing God. Be hard on those things that would stop your pursuit of God. Be vehement, be earnest, be violent against them. Catch the little foxes and beat the snot out of them. Run them off. And there comes a point where God goes, okay, I've heard enough. You know what to do. Be violent with the unbelief. You don't have to beg. You're not a widow. You're my bride. I love you. Hallelujah. God expects us. You speak to that fuel oil in the church. Be filled and be paid for. Amen. Speak to those other needs. Refrigerator, my God loves me. You will not torment me. So again, I'm commending to you. You know, beat down the unholy ideas. Be violent with them. Don't let the little foxes come. Little fox of unbelief. Little fox of doubt. You're past that. Don't put up with that. Believe God. And your lips won't be unclean. He said if you believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, you'll be saved. And a lot of people in America don't want to hear anything about discipline. But it's part of your walk with God. We just heard a passage about that. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to catch the little foxes. You catch the little foxes. Amen. For us. You do it. You be violent. You take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. Instead of begging and pleading like we're widows. No, Jesus is right here with His bride loving us. I took you to Hebrews chapter 12. I wanted to look at verses 1 and 2. You're throwing off the little foxes. You're throwing off the hindrances. You're running the course set for you. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I say even now the heavenly realms are looking down at us in the earth. And a lot of them, I imagine, are moaning and groaning. Why are they doing that? Why aren't they believing? The Bible says the angels eagerly look into the matters of salvation. Where's the faith so we can spring into action? Are you hearing me? That's powerful, man. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance wherever we want to go. No, that's not what it says. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the course. Jesus is the path. The thing that's been marked out for us. It's not get saved and do whatever you want. We're free now to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're liberated now to follow after Jesus, to have a relationship with God, to go to Him daily, to die to ourselves daily so that He can live through us. The Bible says don't use your freedom as a cover-up for sin. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh, it says. Jesus is the way. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, He will create faith in you and He will bring it to fruition. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Somebody says, how do I do that? Pray. Get in the Bible. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus is our example. He promises good things to come. He asks us to discipline ourselves, to catch the little foxes ourselves and get them out, to fellowship with Him, to be, you know, to beat our body, if you will. This self-discipline is all. To walk with Him, to follow Him. Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 12 through, I don't know, maybe 16. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, check it out, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. Don't resist Him. It is God who works in you to will, that is to want, and to act, that is to do, according to His good purpose. While you're running this course and you're catching the foxes and throwing off the entanglements, it says in verse 14, do everything without complaining or arguing. Or another, in the original text, do everything without disputing with one another, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. The days of Noah. You get to be like a star in the night sky, it says right here, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing or in vain. So do you hear that? You know, I went to God in repentance. I went to God in repentance. And He rushed to meet me. And He said, don't worry, I make you like a star in the night sky. This passage says without fault. I make you without any faults. You have no faults. You're shining like a star in the night sky by working out your salvation with fear and trembling. By not playing patty cake with God. By not trifling with God, but by taking Him seriously. Are you hearing me? We can shine like stars in the night sky, making God very happy. How much work does a star do? I don't think they do much. No, the Scripture says they're upheld by the power of God's Word. Hallelujah. He knows each one by name. That's you. I close with Psalm chapter 19. This is you in Christ Jesus. Living a life of repentance. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's talking about the voice of creation declaring the glory of God in Psalm chapter 19, verse 4. Their voice, this is creation's voice declaring the glory of God. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun. Now, what is the sun? The sun is a star, folks. In the heavens, He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from its pavilion. There you are, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the path. This says we can throw off the entanglements and run the race that's been marked out for us and be like the sun, steady and powerful. One star warms this whole planet. One star, one child of God can give grace to the whole earth. Hallelujah. And God says, you're all to be this way. All of my children are to be this way. Wow, can't you just see the earth shining in the redemption of the glory of God through His children rejoicing to run the course marked out for them? Hallelujah. With power, with strength, with dignity. Glory to God. Ain't ever going to happen without accountability. I'm telling you, based on the authority of God's Word, what's happening in the earth is the responsibility of the church. The church in America has been caught with her pants down because the belt of truth was too loose. Too loosey-goosey. If we need to crack a whip on ourselves, let's do that. Let's don't presume to do it to others until we're thoroughly disciplined ourselves. Amen? Oswald Chambers says, the mark of a mature Christian is one who's very, very strict on himself, yet easy on others. But he also said, we're at risk of putting tenderness where God is putting strictness, and putting strictness where God is putting tenderness. And so we renounce our own judgments. We renounce what we think is right. And we seek God and say, you talk to me, Lord. And I'm sharing with you the word of the Lord today. Catch the little foxes for us, church. If God's not going to set America on fire, and if the church in America is not going to enthrone Christ, we can right here, can't we?
Amen.
And we choose to do that right now, Lord. Forgive us our wandering, our selfishness, and all of that, Lord. We believe that Your work on the cross paid the price, that we have an atonement. Our guilt has been taken away. And we repent, Lord. You said You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we tell the truth. And wash us clean of all unrighteousness, that we can be without fault and shine like stars in the night sky. We ask and receive Your Spirit, Your power to run the course marked out for us like rejoicing champions. Hallelujah. Champions that rejoice by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it be so, Lord, in Jesus' name.